Hebrews chapter 1, and been going through the last 2 weeks, and now we're on our third here, looking at angels and what angels. I said at the start of this that somebody asked me or mentioned something about angels. And what are angels? Do you believe that there's ministering angels around us? And I thought, you know, that's a good question. Let's go ahead and look at it, study it. So anyways, Hebrews chapter 1. I have no idea where I am here. Okay, there we are. Hebrews 1. And this is our kind of our text verse as we've been springboarding off of this here and looking at other references throughout the Bible. But angels, and what are they? All right, again, let's look at Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, and in different times and in different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now remember, God spoke through prophets to the people. Okay, hath in these last days, that refers to the days in which we are in right now. Okay, if you know anything about dispensations, Lord willing, we're going to study that here soon. The Lord hasn't given me the green light on that quite yet. Okay, but dispensations, we're in the age of grace, and that's from the time that Christ died on the cross, resurrected, up until this very second that I'm speaking. The end to that dispensation will be when Jesus Christ returns for His people, for His children, His saints, okay? So that's what He's talking about. In these days spoken unto us, notice, by His Son, capital S-O-N, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He had made the worlds. And let me just clarify something real briefly, and I apologize for rambling here a little bit. But in these days He's spoken to us, or is speaking to us, not by prophets, not by angels, not by spirits, by His Son. Now, if you know your Bible, the Son is always likened to the Word, isn't He? Out of His mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when He says that, in these days, in this age in which we live, He's speaking to us by and through His Son, which is the Word of God. So if anyone says, Brother Matt, Robbie, or JR, boy, I had a dream last night and the Spirit spoke to me. You stop, you take a step back and go, hang on, let me tell you what the Bible says, okay? Because it's spoken to us by and through the Word, okay? Whatever it is. Now, that Spirit, usually, by the way, the people that receive these extra-biblical revelations, they're called, outside of the Bible, they usually never match what the Bible says, okay? And that's when the red flags go up. We go, hang on a second. So why? Because of Hebrews 1 here, He's spoken to us by that. Okay, verse 3, let's keep going here. Sorry about that. Who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. What does God look like? Jesus. The image of God is Jesus. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. No one else was there. No one else helped Him. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 4 is where we want to look at. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And again, I will be to Him a Father, He shall be to Me a Son. Let's go on. Verse 7, if you will. And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. Okay, so we'll look at a little bit more, but pausing there for a minute, just clarifying the author of the book of Hebrews, again, we don't know who that is. It's never clarified to us in the Bible. I believe it is Paul, but you may differ. Every epistle that Paul wrote started with Paul, if you study this. Paul, an apostle, and that's where he starts his letters. How does this letter start? God. Who wrote Hebrews? Well, God did. I've always liked that, right? I think God just laid it out for us. And so He's clarifying to us again. The theme of Hebrews is Jesus is better. The whole theme. And He starts out, Jesus is better than the angels or higher. He didn't send an angel to die for our sins. He could have, but He didn't. He sent His Son, okay, God incarnate, to die for our sins. Right? And He's so much better. He gets into chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. He's better than the law. He's better than this. That's what it is. So clarifying to us, the angels. Okay, now let's get into the notes here because I know we got to hasten here a little bit. But notice God reveals to us in Scripture that He has created other beings that are above us in intelligence and power. He calls these beings angels. Again, Psalm 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. 2 Peter 2:11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. So there are angels, clarifying. They are mentioned by the title angel at least 297 times in Scripture, and I don't even know if that's accurate at how many times they're mentioned, but there are sometimes, or they are sometimes referred to as the host of heaven. Okay, jump down to the next one there. They are supernatural, highly intelligent, heavenly beings who act as God's messengers to men and as agents who carry out His will. Okay, again, to clarify, every time you read about an angel in the Bible, they are always obedient to the directing of God. They never rebel against God. There are several times when people fell down in the Bible and began to, or tried to, or attempted to worship the angel. I mean, I would probably do that too if you saw this heavenly being. They fall down and worship, and every time the angel basically picks them up and says, no, don't worship me. And I said before, there's one angel that loves worship and pleads for worship and just gets so, I don't know what word to use, I'll be careful, but he loves worship, and his name is Lucifer, okay? And we know that. Now clarifying, let's go number one, just a little bit of a review. We looked at this already, but a review of that the existence of angels is assumed in Scripture. There's never an attempt to prove the existence, just as, notice, never an attempt to prove the existence of God. As you read the Bible, you find that their existence is assumed. So, again, we don't have a lot of description about what an angel is. These pictures and drawings of beautiful pictures of angels. You ever been to the Getty Museum out in California, L.A.? We've been out there several times, and we go there because it's free. So we go there, and then we go to the beach, and it's free. Actually, it's not free because you got to park at the beach, and it's like, I don't know, $10 or something. What a rip, you know, to get out to the beach. And we go to this museum, and they got these beautiful paintings from, they're 400 or 500 years old paintings, you know. And they've got several of angels, and they always are these beautiful heavenly beings up in the air with wings and all kinds of things, okay. That is not a biblical angel. And so that's exactly kind of where we get this idea of an angel. But they're never described for us. They're always assumed. And we see that. Okay, I'll stop there. But number two, the nature of angels, it differs from man. We know that. They're created beings. They're spirit beings. They have great might and power. They have various ranks and orders. And they make up an innumerable company. Now again, let me clarify. They have might and power. As we read, hundreds of thousands of people were literally killed by one angel. I mean, he swept through in the night, and all he did was literally sweep through, and they died. Their hearts stopped beating. That's the power of just one angel. Now, we're going to see in the end times, and then we get to see all of the things unfold, and that great battle that takes place at Armageddon. They're in the Valley of Megiddo, and all of God's army and all of Satan's power are going to come together, and we obviously know that we're already on the winning side, okay? It's not an if, okay? We already know what's going to happen, and he's going to annihilate this army. Well, we're going to see a lot of the mighty angels, an innumerable host, come into play, and praise God for that, okay? They do appear today on special occasions. Again, Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And this is a scary part. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now I already gave that example of that time of that pastor spoke of. But if you maybe had an encounter with somebody before and you go, was that an angel? I've never had that because people are weird and different. But I always thought about that. And a homeless guy came up to me one time and he was saying something, he rambling something. And the thought came, maybe he's an angel trying to speak to me. And then I thought, no, he's not. I don't know. It's kind of scary to think about. But we got to be nice to everybody because everyone's fighting a battle we know nothing about, right? Everybody is. Okay, thirdly, the moral fiber of the angel was tested, or of angels, excuse me, was tested. Originally, all the angels were created good. However, as with man, each angel obviously had a choice to make, whether or not to submit to God or to rebel against Him and go his own way. Letter A, some of them, possibly a third, rebelled against God. led by Lucifer. It took place after the week of creation and before the fall of man. It had to have happened somewhere in there. Again, studying your chronology in Scripture, but it had to happen somewhere in there, right? And you think about it. The point that Adam and Eve were created, some time had passed in the garden. We don't know how long before the serpent came. He'd already fallen at that point, obviously. But we see it, that there was the moral fiber was tested. Now again, angels do have obviously a choice. They have a free will. But here's the sad part. They cannot be redeemed like a human being. And so we have failed. We have a free will. We have failed. We have willingly sinned. Therefore, we need redemption. And that is offered to us. Okay, letter B. Some of the rebels are allowed to roam the earth and oppose God's purposes. Now, some people believe that they are demons. Others don't. I don't know where I kind of reside in that. I'm kind of leaning more towards that they are demonic things. But there are demons around us. They really are. There are evil spirits around us. And if you've ever dabbled with any of that or messed with it, it is a very scary thing. And you don't want to mess with that kind of stuff. You know that. Again, clarifying, a believer can be oppressed, but they cannot be possessed. Okay, you'll have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. So don't go dabbling with that stuff, but you will be oppressed, and that oppression can be very, very difficult to overcome. Okay, so possibly a third rebelled. They're allowed to roam the earth. They afflict God's people. One, they hinder the spiritual life of God's people. They try to deceive God's people, and they try to hide the gospel from the lost. They try to do all they can. And by the way, these demonic, evil things, they hate God. You ever been around somebody like that? They are hateful people. I mean, they are violent people. They want to kill. They want to hurt. And that's what it is. And very, very scary to think about. Letter C, all of the rebels will join Satan in the lake of fire. So there's no hope given for their redemption. We don't read of it in Scripture. The saints will have some part in their judgment. We studied some of that a little bit last time. Okay, let's get to this part. The holy angels serve God and us. The majority of the angels chose to rebel against God. Revelation 5:11, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Chose not to rebel against God. I don't know if I said that right. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So again, remember that. We think, oh, there was millions of them that rebelled against. Well, we've got to be careful. There is a vast majority that did not. There is a small remnant that did rebel, which is very sad and tragic, but there was a vast majority that did not. They have a heavenly ministry. Okay, notice Isaiah 6. I have here in the notes, Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried, turn the page, unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Revelation 5:11 goes along with this. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. So, beautiful picture given to us in the book of Revelation. But Isaiah said, when I saw him high and lifted up, I saw those angels, and they were worshiping the Lord, weren't they? Amazing thing to think about. And again, on that Ark of the Covenant, you remember on that mercy seat, the lid of that box, are those angels, aren't they? And they have their wings stretched out forward like this, one on this side, one on that side. And it's an amazing thing. Where the ark is today, we don't know. We'll get into that. That's the whole other subject. Okay, we won't rabbit trail on that one. Letter B, they have an earthly ministry as well. Angels are ministering spirits to the saints, as we read that there in Hebrews 1. One, they guide the believer. An angel appeared three times in dreams to Joseph. Matthew 1. Matthew 2. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and then to Mary in Luke 1. An angel announced to the shepherds the birth of Jesus and was joined by a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. By the way, when those angels appeared to those shepherds out in the field, scared them to death, didn't it? So much so that when they said, you need to go find Jesus, they said, yes, sir. You know, they knew they wouldn't go another route. But this is what they're doing. They're to guide the believer. Now, for 400 and umpteen something years in that intertestament period between the Old Testament and New, there was no revelation from God. There was no word from God. There was no angel from God appearing to man. And so all of a sudden, this angel appears down and comes down and speaks to Joseph, to Mary, to Zacharias. And it's an announcement of what? Redemption, of what's going to happen now since the birth of our Savior and what would happen. So they're to guide believers. By the way, don't get scared and worried and fearful. You say, well, God said He's coming. The Lord said He's coming back, but still haven't heard nothing. We've been waiting for hundreds of years. Don't worry. They waited 400 something. And they were down in Egypt for a long time, 400 years as slaves, just being beaten, whipped, mocked every day. And the Lord said, I'm coming. Okay, number two, they strengthen and encourage. Angels appeared to strengthen Jesus when He was tempted. We know that. Again, during His agony in Gethsemane, Matthew 4, Luke 22. Again, you can look these verses up. An angel descended to roll away the stone from the tomb of Jesus. Matthew 28. Certain women saw angels at the tomb again, okay? And those angels were just sitting on the side, just chilling, weren't they? Hey, what are you looking for? He says. We're looking for Jesus, obviously. Oh, He's not here. He's risen as He said, always reminding us. They strengthen and encourage. Okay, thirdly, they defend, they protect, they deliver God's servants. The angel released the apostles from prison, Acts 5:19. Directed Philip to go to Gaza, Acts 8, appeared to Cornelius in a vision, came to Peter and freed him from prison, and smote Herod with a sickness that killed him. Okay, so a lot of activity in Acts, a lot of things going on, and we're going to study this later on, but when you get to the end of the book of Acts, you're going to see a shift in things that happen. We don't see a lot of activity with angels and other such things. We're going to deal and go into what the New Testament Bible church is and its function. And who's at the head of that? We know who it is. It's Jesus. He said, I will build my church. But the Holy Spirit obviously is the one that's helping and empowering us through all of that. Okay. Four, they carry souls to paradise. They'll gather God's elect to Him. By the way, some of this stuff people say, oh, it's fantasy fairy tale. When someone dies, angels come and pick them up. That's not true. The Bible says, okay, angels take you up. And vice versa. Okay. You think about, they have a purpose. Okay, five, they are eyewitnesses of the church and the believer. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 11. I put here, notice 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things, without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Number six, they accompany Christ at His second coming to separate the righteous from the wicked, and to execute God's wrath upon the wicked. So they are ministering spirits that will come and will help. Okay, now, are they working today? Absolutely, they're working. You have a guardian angel, okay, whatever you want to call it, but they are actively at work. We ought not to go and search for them or worship them, obviously. Holy angel, appear to me. No, we've studied that already. There is no angel Moroni, as the Mormons claim. Joseph Smith was not encountering out in the field one day. He found these secret stones that an angel appeared to him. Wrong. It's not biblical. There was not an angel that appeared to Muhammad and got him up in a cave and stuffed him up against the wall and said, you're going to follow me or else. Okay, that's what he claimed happened. No, people get screwed up, pardon my French, but they do when we don't follow the book, right? We don't follow the book. And it's very simple. Okay, now number five, and we'll wrap her up here. The angel of the Lord. Now notice this. This phrase appears 68 some times. He's called the angel of God. Genesis 31, Exodus 14. He's described as the angel which redeemed me from all evil, according to Genesis 48, 16. This angel is greater, notice, than any created being. He is probably the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. In contemporary pre-incarnation appearances. He is first formally introduced when He appeared to Hagar. Okay, now, a little bit of clarification again. There is something called a theophany in the Old Testament. That is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, as Abraham was sitting in his tent door and Lot's down in Sodom, you remember the story? There were three men that came and appeared to him. Well, Abraham went and bowed down in particular to one of them. And we believe that to be pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, okay? Now, there's something in the New Testament called a Christophany, and that is an appearance after the death, burial, and ascension of Christ. He appears again, doesn't he? Death and burial. He appears again. It's Christophany. Jesus Christ appears to those in the New Testament. Now, we'll look at that, hopefully, Lord willing, later. Don't quote me on that, because I don't know when I'll get to that. Okay. The angel is greater, notice, than any created being. Any created being. Okay, letter A, he promised to perform what God alone could do. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Letter B, he foretold what God alone could do. Thou art with child and shalt bear a son. He says in verse 12, he will be a wild man. C, Hagar considered him to be God. She addressed him in the way of worship. A created angel, he would have refused. Again, we know that. If he's a created angel, he always refused that worship, doesn't he? She called his, thou God that seest me, a name never given to any created being. Okay, we'll study some of Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rohi, and other things of that nature. We'll look at that, the different names of God. But we can find it. The angel of the Lord appeared. He identifies then, notice, himself to Moses as God and the I Am. Now, lastly here, Adam Clark in his commentary on Genesis writes this, these things cannot be spoken of any human or created being. For the knowledge, works, and others attributed to this person are such as belong to God, and as in all these cases, there is a most evident personal appearance. Jesus Christ alone can be meant. For of God the Father, it has been ever true that no man hath at any time seen his shape, nor has he ever limited himself to any definable personal appearance. Okay, so people ask that. Well, what does God look like? Well, the image of God is Jesus Christ. Very clear. We don't know particularly what Jesus looks like. Okay, the images and things of that nature, pictures, drawings. We're going to just wait till we see him. Amen. And John says in 1 John, when we see him, we will know him. We'll know him. And no question, which one is Jesus over there? No, we're going to say that's him. That's it. We know him. And we'll hear his voice. And he says what? My sheep hear my voice and they know me and they listen. And they know me, I know them. Okay? So anyways, as we continue in this study, looking at, there are many references to angels. Obviously, a good topic to study because people have questions about that. The Catholics in particular, Catholicism, they study angels and they love angels, don't they? If you've ever been around their worship ceremonies and mass and other things. So we must clarify what are angels and what is their purpose. And I said it, I'll say it again, we have a guardian angel and mine's going to say one day when I see him, he's going to say, get over here. I've got a lot to get with you. I've protected you too many times. Okay, anyways, I hope that's a help to you. And to take this home, as I say often, study these verses. If somebody wasn't here tonight, you're maybe a spouse or a friend or something, let them look at the notes and see what they have to say about it. But I hope it's a help. All right? Okay. Well, remember these in prayer tonight. We covered. And Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. And I appreciate being able to study this tonight and to look at what the Bible has to say. A lot of confusion these days about what the Bible actually says. And we must be very careful to get our theology and our doctrine directly from the Bible and not from hearsay. Strengthen us, God, in our faith. Be with us and guide us. Help us, Lord, to be in your word and not talk about it, but live it. Strengthen us, Lord, and thank you for all that you do. We look forward to your return. In Jesus' name, amen.